Good afternoon. This is the conference operator. Welcome and thank you for joining the GVS first quarter 2026 results web call. All participants are in listen-only mode, and after the presentation, there will be a Q&A session. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Massimo Scagliarini, CEO of GVS. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon and good morning. Welcome everybody to the first quarter presentation of GVS Group. I am not seeing the presentation on the screen right now, so I don't know if the participants are seeing it. Otherwise, I will kindly ask
the moderator
to set up the presentation. Okay.
Hello. Could you please the call for
yes, we are checking the issue. Just a second. If
thanks.
Just please hold the
thanks.
Line.
Yeah. Yep. Excellent. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, again, good afternoon and good morning. So welcome to the Q1 presentation of the GVS Group. Quick snapshot on the number. First quarter at 105 million plus 3.9 versus previous year, Q1 25. Adjusted EBITDA 25.9, so plus 0.3% versus previous year, and margin at 24.6, 57 BPS better than 2025. Net income at 10.7 million with a margin of 10.2, and the net financial position at 249 with a leverage of 2.3. Okay, some quick detail. We have a nice 3.5% growth on healthcare and life science. Energy mobility flattish, -0.5, and safety a nice growth at plus 8.6 versus previous year. As I mentioned before, adjusted EBITDA at 24.6. A value of 25.9, so plus 0.3 versus previous year. Net financial position at a leverage of 2.3 with 249 million. Now I leave the speech to Guido for some granular details.
Thank you, Massimo, and good morning, good afternoon to everyone. So we now comment the variance analysis on sales. Q1 2026 revenues versus Q1 2025. So the first step that we comment is the negative FX impact of about 6%, and this is mostly related to US dollar depreciation. So 5.4 million out of the 6.4 are related to US dollar. And excluding the FX, we have 3.9% organic growth. It is made by volume and pricing growth. Starting from pricing, the 1.6 million equivalent to 1.4% year on year is in line with the performance we recorded in the last quarter and the last years. While we have a nice 2.6 million, so 2.4% year on year volume growth compared to the first quarter of the previous year. We have a completely like for like perimeter in this quarter, and these 2.6 million are referred to the growth mostly of safety, transfusion medicine, and medtech. So moving now to the next slide, we see the performance division by division. First thing we want to highlight is a very good performance of healthcare and life science, not only for the growth, 3.5% excluding FX organic performance versus the previous quarter, but also the fact that all the three subdivisions of healthcare are delivering or solid organic growth. So start from MedTech, plus 2% compared to the previous quarter. The transfusion medicine, we almost have almost 7.9% of organic growth, and the life science, 6.2% growth. Moving then to safety. Safety is delivering a consistent, very consistent, and high single-digit growth. This quarter is plus 8.6% preview versus the previous first quarter of the previous year. We have a strong FX impact on this, but so the organic is absolutely in line with the very good performance that this division delivered in the previous quarter. And then, as Massimo anticipated, mobility, we have a substantial stability in the sales of mobility, and this is a very important sign of stabilization after difficult quarter of the division. So we are basically flattish on organic perspective. There's still some impact of FX, given also the exposure we have of the automotive business to the US market. Now I'm hand over to Marco to comment the profitability.
Thank you, Guido. Good morning. Good afternoon, everybody on the call. So let's move to the financials. First, EBITDA. EBITDA in absolute terms is slightly going up from 25.8 million to 25.9. If we look at the adjusted EBITDA margin, there is an improvement of around 60 BPS, so 60 BPS, mainly driven by pricing. We increased pricing by 1.4%. That impact has nothing to do with the reaction we are going to implement to offset raw material pricing going up. In Q1, there is no impact of that. Then volume is positive, around 1 million. Unfortunately, negative FX, already commented by Guido. And then you see there is a negative 0.9, you see other. This is mainly due to the startup cost linked with the transfer of the transfer medicine production from the Tijuana plant of Monetics to our Mexican plant. So it's just a matter of time. For sure we are going to improve and release efficiencies in the second part of the year. Now we can move to the next slide, which is about the adjusted net income. If you look on the left, there is a strong improvement of the adjusted net income, but this is mainly driven by FX. FX related to the US dollar intercompany loans. But if we remove that impact, you see a slightly negative trend. The adjusted net income is equal to around 10%, which is more or less what we showed last year, but it's going down slightly due to the higher DNA. Higher DNA are mainly due to the new 2025 CapEx for the plants in UK and China, and it's also due to the, as I said before, the movement, the transfer, the startup of the transfer of the new production, transfer of the production of the transfusion medicine products. Now, the last slide is about the net financial position. Here it's perfectly aligned with our guidance and with our budget. Net financial position, as usual, in the first quarter is going up. So here you see a deterioration of around 10 million euros. mainly due to net working capital. You see there is a negative 21 million euros. As usual in Q1, this negative trend of both stock and receivables, which we are going to offset later on during the 2026. If you compare net financial positions at the end of March 2026 to the net financial position of the 12 months before, you see an improvement of around 26 million euros, but you should remove the extraordinary impact of the already mentioned the capex for the new plants. If you do that, you have an improvement of the net financial position in 12 months of around 35-36 million euros, which means more or less an average improvement of 9 million euros per quarter, which is more or less our target. And now I can give the floor to Massimo for the conclusions of the presentation.
Okay, nothing really changed compared with the last conference. MedTech, we are working on establishing a new subdivision to have a more focus on high growth segment. Transfusion medicine, the platform has been built, so now we have to push on grow and accelerate the new product development. Safety, keep expanding the business using the ramp up of new products and not only the new geography. Life science, validation with pharmaceutical customer, new distribution agreement. Mobility, stabilize the revenue and continue grow on EV related solution and recovering some volume in the agricultural vehicle application. Guidance. Again, nothing has changed. So, in sales, low single digit growth, with a progressive acceleration through the year, adjusted EBITDA from 20 to 50 BPS of margin expansion versus previous year and leverage ratio in the region of 1.8. Of course, excluding the impact of the voluntary partial tender offer on the treasury shares. So here we close the presentation and I believe we can move to the Q&A section.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To enter the queue for questions, please click on the Q&A icon on the left side of your screen. When announced, please click continue on the pop-up window. If you are connected in audio only, please press star and one on your telephone. The first question is from Emanuele Gallazzi, Equita.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking my question for the presentation. Let's start with two questions. The first one is on the guidance, because you were pointing to gradual improvement in organic growth through the year, while you posted already in the first quarter a good performance at 4% versus a low single-digit target for the full year. I was just wondering which division overperformed your initial expectation. And the second one is on the safety business, still very good performance in the first quarter. Can you give us more color on the new product and generally speaking, how demand and the competitive environment is evolving for the safety business? Thank you.
Okay, for the first question, I would say there is an overall growth that it's a little bit better than our expectation. So there are not one division that is performing better than the other. For what regards the safety, I would say that we have a different product that are in a launch phase. Of course, the full face mask that will gain full speed this year because entered in the market by the end of last year. Then we have new helmets to be used on the PRPR market or on the assisted air type of protection device. We have even new system, radio system for communication between operator to be added to the helmet. So there are many different things that will help accelerate the growth. But again, I will keep this inside the what we are expecting from this division. So around the 8% growth.
Very clear.
Yes.
The next question is from Alessandro Tortora, Mediobanca.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon to everybody. I have three questions, okay, if I may. The first one relates to the transfusion medicine business. If you can help us to understand, you mentioned before that the expectation for the year is this, let's say, gradual acceleration, no, with a good starting Q1. But the question is, how do you see, the transfusion medicine progressing over the year? If should we expect, let's say, a second half significantly better due to, some development on the commercial side? So just understand how you see the development of this segment over the year. This is the first question. Thanks.
Well, I am very prudent on transfusion medicine because it's true that now we have internalized all the production and we are fully vertically integrated. But I am basically launching 50 or 60 new product code in production. And so that's my generate a lot of turbulence, a lot of problem. So right now we are moving well in the right direction. I just want to be prudent because there are many variables that are playing in this kind of process.
Mm. But just just maybe my question wasn't, let's say, correct on this. What is the initial feedback you're getting from clients? Because clearly, you are a sort of a new entrant into the market. So what is, let's say, the initial feedback you are collecting from clients?
Well, it's a very good question. The point is the product that we have is recognized by the market as the best product. No doubt. You can ask at every user is absolutely the best product for these applications. And the product is in the market for many, many, many years. So everyone knows the product. Of course, we are new, but we are replicating the process that had been in place on the last 20 years. So again, we have to do everything right in our production process so to keep the top quality of the product and not making any type of mistake in this direction, and the market will prize us. If we make mistake, that might slow down our growth in this market. So that's why I have my eyes pointed on this process business, and I am personally following every single step of this expansion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, understood. Thanks. Then the second question is on the topic related to rising cost inflation, but also on the input side for you. Can you tell us, first of all, if you are observing into your, let's say, cost base some initial tension on this, and what are the countermeasure you are doing in order, let's say, to mitigate this impact clearly this year, but also, let's say, next year? Thanks.
Basically, I am seeing a letter of force major indication every day. So, and this means that whatever type of contract you have is not considered anymore. Of course, this is more a kind of preparation by everybody to understand what's going on with the barrel, with the petrol. Right now, we have already acted in terms of increasing our stock to cover ourselves into the future. And of course, we are working on the pricing with the customer. This is the only two things that we can, let's say, do. And we are strengthening also our supply chain so that we are more and more local for local and not depending on transportation across the oceans, because that the other topic that will be hot in the future. So right now, for our forecast, we don't see, Marco confirmed.
Yeah, no material impact in Q2, at least.
Exactly. And but then I believe that everybody's on the window to see what is going to happen with Hormuz.
Okay, okay. So just to be clear, on top of, let's say, you know, the positive price trend that we saw already in Q1, you haven't, let's say, announced today incremental prices increases, let's say, to customers.
Alessandro, let's say that incremental pricing to customers will offset raw material pricing. That's the summary in the end. That's why I'm saying that no significant impact is expected. So there are early signs of raw material going up, but we offset that with incremental pricing to customers. That's it. So no impact on EBITDA.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. And then the last question from my side is just, let's say, confirmation, or if you can tell us if you are still committed at a certain point of the year, probably, let's say, the second half, to give us an update on the middle term for GBS. Thanks.
To say G-plan.
Yeah, it's we are still committed. I suppose it will be after the summer as a period.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Welcome.
The next question is from Christian Hinderaker at Goldman Sachs.
Good afternoon, Massimo, Marco, Guido. Apologies in advance because I was having some firewall issues and hence late to the call. I wanted to start, if I can, on the life sciences growth dynamics. Growth's improved there. I think when we think back to the fourth quarter, there was some potential distribution agreements that were being mentioned. I wonder how we should think about the timing of those. Did they support the better growth in Q1, or is that something that's still to come in the remainder of the year?
Still coming. I mean, all these kind of negotiations are not short, also because if we have to substitute another player, it's not something that happened quickly. But they are coming. So this is the positive.
Super, thank you. And then just turning, you said in the past net income represents a reasonable proxy for your free cash flow, should be around 10 to 12 million per quarter. You had 10.7 of net income in Q1, but then the free cash outflow, in my maths, around 10 million negative. I appreciate inventories and receivables usually up in the first quarter seasonally, but I wonder, how do we think about the net working capital expectations as we look ahead through the rest of the year?
You're right, because in the end we will, our expectation is to fully offset that trend in the second part, which means that our target in the end is to have a zero impact of the working capital. But this is at the end of the year. And if you look at the history of the company, you see in the first half negative trend of the working capital, in the second half you have the opposite trend.
A clear, Marco. Makes sense. I think that's it for the moment.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please click on the Q&A icon on the left side of your screen or press star and one on your telephone. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please click on the Q&A icon on the left side of your screen or press star and one on your telephone. Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time. I turn the conference back to you for any closing remarks.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Thank you to everybody, and see you at the next conference call. Thank you for the participation.